Irv, why did you write your book, Campaign of the Century, which is a historical account of the 1960s presidential race between JFK and Richard Nixon?
Because it's been told wrong for six decades. Theodore White's The Making of the President, 1960, was excellent, but the most important aspect that was mistold was Theodore White's idea that Kennedy was a hero and Nixon was a villain. Neither were heroes and neither were villains. They were ambitious politicians that wanted to win the highest election in the United States.
During the 1960 presidential campaign, Dwight Eisenhower was the president and Nixon was the vice president. Eisenhower was hugely popular and had won in a landslide in his previous two elections in 1952 and 1956. Why did Nixon benefit from Eisenhower's coattails?
Eisenhower wanted to be loved by everyone and tried his hardest not to be a quote-unquote partisan politician, even though he was. He was a bureaucratic politician who was able to manage people as he did in World War II. But Eisenhower's popularity did not rub off on Nixon. The Democrats had approximately 10 to 15 million more registrants than Republicans did. So Kennedy had a far better base than Nixon had. When Eisenhower ran in 1956, he was running against a man he already defeated. In addition to already defeating Adlai Stevenson, Stevenson ran a very poor campaign. And as his campaign tanked, the Russians invaded Hungary, and there was this rallying around the president to stop aggression.
Kennedy and Nixon were both in their 40s when they ran for president. It's such a stark contrast to the 2020 Trump versus Biden, where both were in their mid-70s.
Kennedy was a great, great campaigner. He was charismatic. He had a young wife, a little child, dressed nicely, smiled, and the press, quite frankly, was seduced by him. They overwhelmingly favored him as a candidate. Nixon took on Alger Hiss, and that became a cause célèbre for liberals because there's no way that an Ivy Leaguer like Alger Hiss could be a communist spy. When Nixon ran for the vice presidency, he became the attack dog for Dwight Eisenhower. So he runs his own campaign as quote unquote one of us, and Jack Kennedy runs a campaign where he is the fair-haired boy.
The press has favored Democrats in every election since 1960. Why does the press matter, given that the Republicans have won their fair share of presidential elections?
Not quite. The nature of Republican victories come in the midst of a very unpopular war, assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr. and Bobby Kennedy. Republicans turned the South into a Republican solid South. Elections after 1968 become national elections, where before 1968, they were regional, where Democrats had the South locked up and Republicans lost a whole section of the country.
Reading your book, I was shocked at how inconsequential the issues that were debated during the 1960 presidential campaign. They seemed trivial, given what the pressing issues that America was going to deal with in the 1960s, like civil rights and Vietnam. As an example of one major debating point, Nixon ridiculed Kennedy's demand that Eisenhower apologize to Russia for the U-2 flights.
These two people were clones. If you substituted what Nixon said for what Kennedy said, they would have been materially different. The only difference was the personality contest. What I find remarkable about the election is the popular vote was a wash. The election was so close, the partisans on either side made this incredible distinction that these two people couldn't have been more dissimilar when, in fact, they were very similar. They were friends.
JFK had not been a strong advocate for civil rights when he was a U.S. senator. In contrast, Eisenhower had sent the 101st Airborne to Little Rock, Arkansas to integrate the public schools. Did JFK outperform Nixon in the 1960 election among black voters?
Since 1936, Democrats won two-thirds of the black vote. That didn't change.
Martin Luther King was arrested in Georgia during the height of the presidential campaign, and JFK gave King support. Was this act important with black voters?
No, it was make-believe. All Jack Kennedy did was call Coretta King and offer condolences. Kennedy got 68% of the black vote. The numbers didn't change.
1960 had the first televised presidential debates. Over 100 million Americans watched all four debates. People make a big deal about Nixon's makeup melting under the hot lamps, while JFK looked cool and in control.
The story is so badly exaggerated, it almost rises to fable. Nixon did not look well. His shirt didn't fit. Nixon told Eisenhower the day before the debate he was going to show him how nice a guy he was, and he was going to use a debating technique where he agreed with Kennedy. And every time he agreed with Kennedy on that debate, his supporters went, "Ugh." Nixon wasn't Nixon in the first debate. If you listen to the second, third, and fourth debate, he's far more confrontational. Kennedy gets irritated. You don't hear anything after the first debate where, "Oh, Nixon looks sick." You hear, "Go get him, Dick."
I've heard that radio listeners thought that Nixon won the first debate, while TV listeners believe JFK won. Is that accurate?
That's a fable also. The results came from one poll of a small number of people. There was an opinion out there that became history.
Hubert Humphrey was JFK's opponent in the Democratic primaries. Why did Humphrey fade so early?
Quite frankly, the most secondary tragic figure was Hubert Humphrey, who was really a very nice man who had serious principles that he did not abandon. But as far as being a politician that would go for the throat, he simply didn't have the killer instinct in him. LBJ looked upon him as a weak candidate to succeed him, and in 1968, pretty much abandoned him for Nixon. His whole career was a career of principle, and principle doesn't win elections.
The popular vote in the 1960 presidential election was incredibly close. It was basically a tie. The electoral election depends on JFK's winning two states, Illinois and Texas. There have been allegations of voter fraud that have been asserted that won the election for JFK. Do you believe the voter fraud narrative?
Yes, I believe the fraud in Texas and Illinois could have gone to Nixon. You can't prove it now because it's 60 years after the fact. Deniers believe there was no such thing as frauds in national election, which is an absurdity. The mayor of Chicago, Richard Daley, tells Kennedy that he won by fraud. I interviewed Ben Bradley, who talked to Jack Kennedy at dinner the day after the election, and Kennedy told Bradley about the conversation he had with Daley. Texas is a whole different story. Johnson was running as vice president, and in addition, he was running in the Senate. Johnson had never won a statewide election without using fraud. And without exception, every author who writes Johnson's biography talks about the massive fraud in 1941 and 1948. And yet his principal biographers in 1960 don't mention it. I mean, not even a sentence.
How can a historian evaluate voter fraud in the 1960 presidential election?
You can't. The only way you can stop fraud is before an election, not after an election. The amount of people convicted of fraud in Chicago were three. Three people out of 51 wards. That's ridiculous. Every politician, judges, and juries were Democrats. Nobody was going to prove fraud. And even if you did prove fraud, how in the world would you start another campaign in another election? Nixon knew it would cause a constitutional crisis. Nixon knew there was no way to challenge an election in Texas. When the state Republican Party in Texas challenged the election, they went up against Leon Jaworski, who went in front of a federal judge and said there were no civil rights violation, throw this out of court. And the judge, who went to high school with Jaworski, threw it out of court. Nixon knew that there wasn't a snowball's chance in hell of changing the election in Texas. And if you couldn't change it in Texas, it was irrelevant changing it anywhere else. Nixon deserves a great deal of credit for the way he handled it.
What historical lessons can be learned from the 1960 presidential election?
Write good history rather than bad history. I was flabbergasted that there was no research on the fraud in the election. The one lesson that you talked about earlier, you don't stop fraud after an election. It's not possible. You can't bring all these people to trial. You can't say you committed fraud. We're going to do a do-over.
What were JFK's legislative successes after winning the election?
Other than the change in income tax, the major piece of legislation passed under JFK, the Reciprocal Trade Agreements Act of 1962. Kennedy said with a stroke of a pen, he would change black housing, segregation. It never happened. The change in the income tax laws did happen because he was able to get bipartisan support. The problem that Jack Kennedy had as president is he had no connection with Congress. In his 14 years in Congress, in the House and the Senate, he had no legislation with his name on it. None. Winning elections was his claim to fame.
JFK includes Republicans as members of his cabinet and senior executive roles. Here are three examples. JFK uses Dillon as Secretary of Treasury, Allen Dulles remains as CIA director, and Nixon's vice presidential candidate, Henry Cabot Lodge, is made ambassador to Vietnam. That turns out to be a critically important position in the years ahead.
Allen Dulles was already there and was a fixture. Dillon accepted his appointment as Secretary of Treasury, and Eisenhower was angry that Dillon was going with the opposition. And in Lodge's case, he could work with both Democrats and Republicans. Kennedy was trying to bring in the loyal opposition into his administration.
How did the JFK Camelot myth get started?
The way he died was so awful that it brings forth sympathy from everyone. When I was walking on campus and somebody told me that he had been assassinated, I was shocked. It was a terrible day for the vast majority of Americans. Camelot was a fabrication. Jackie Kennedy got a hold of Theodore White, and they just made this up for a Look magazine article. Kennedy would have been appalled that he was compared to Camelot.
What do you think has been underreported by JFK's biographers?
His sexual affairs, his health, and corruption.
Why wasn't JFK's sexual behavior covered by the press during the presidential campaign or during his presidency?
1960 and earlier, your sexual conduct was not mentioned. Now we have the memoirs of Mimi Alford, Once Upon a Secret. We have memoirs of Judith Exner and a whole series of these people who had affairs with Kennedy. The raw data from these FBI files are now available and show him in the worst possible light.
Why didn't Nixon attack JFK for his sexual infidelities?
Nixon was straight-laced. He wasn't going to use sex in the campaign.
JFK did not disclose that he had a severe case of Addison's disease. Did he have a duty to disclose this?
There was no law that forced candidates for the presidency to disclose their health. And by the way, there is no law today. Eisenhower, when he had his heart attack, it was heavily covered. When he had his colon operated on, it was national news. When he had a mild stroke in 1957, it was nationally disclosed. Robert Dallek, who wrote a book on John F. Kennedy, says that if he had disclosed his Addison's disease, he probably would not have been nominated for president. Theodore Sorensen, who was Kennedy's alter ego, says, yes, he would. But the real issue is, should they disclose or not disclose? Late in the campaign, there were requests for both candidates to get physicals. Nixon was more than willing. Kennedy said it already has happened.
Sounds like JFK's Aaron Rodgers moment. Next topic is press conferences. Eisenhower had 200 press conferences in his two terms, and this is a stark contrast with Biden, who's had six in his first 15 months. Why did Eisenhower have so many press conferences?
Eisenhower had a weekly press conference because he wanted to go directly to the American public. He felt that the press was partisan and that the best way to communicate with the American public was through a press conference. Richard Nixon thought that the press was not giving him a fair shake, and the best way for him to communicate with the public was through his own speaking.
My dad told me that JFK's press conference performances were incredible.
Kennedy really was charming with vigor and energy and the way he used his Boston accent.
When you look at the election results from the 1960 presidential election, the regional partisan results are wildly different than today. Kennedy won the South but lost California. Most of the individual states were extremely close, like California, Texas, Illinois, Wisconsin, and others. What happened in the cities and the growing suburbs?
Of the 149 major cities, 20 or 30 went for Nixon and all the rest went for Kennedy. The nature of urban split starts under FDR and accelerated more and more and more. Nixon did very well in the suburbs.
JFK was the first Catholic president. What was the role of religion in the 1960 campaign?
The Kennedys used his Catholic religion to help him win the election. The only percentage that changed radically in the 1960 election was that 78% Catholics voted for Kennedy. In 1956, 50% voted for Stevenson. That's a 29% jump. That's huge. The Republican National Committee thought that 4 to 6 million more Catholics voted in 1960 than in 1956.
Joe Biden's Catholic, but he lost the Catholic vote. What happened?
Biden did not appeal to various Catholic archbishops and priests for his stance on various issues, i.e. abortion.
Today, a majority of men vote Republican and a majority of women vote Democratic. What happened in 1960?
Kennedy was loved by women. They screamed. They just found him so attractive. In 1960, more women voted for Nixon than voted for Kennedy. It was close, 51 to 49. But Nixon won the female vote.
I end each episode on a note of optimism. Irv, what are you optimistic about?
I'm hopeful more than optimistic. I'd like to think that my book brings more of a reality into how elections should be thought of, not in terms of villains and heroes, but in terms of people that are doing the best that they can do, both Kennedy and Nixon and those people around them truly believed that they were on a righteous crusade, that their person was best for the nation. I find today so much cynicism in campaigning and elections and marketing and not thinking of what really is best, but what the polls are saying. And Campaign of the Century shows what really happened in the best sense of the word.